Blog Talk Radio.
Holiday, and so I am a night owl, and so I'm up doing this broadcast, and tonight we'll be discussing is the key to your immunity found in your gut? And this is due to recent medical research. Not a lot is known about the normal flora or bacteria in our gut and how that's important to our immune system and how it works with the rest of our body. But you have seen probably in the last few years more and more emphasis on probiotics and even prebiotics and how important your bacteria are in your gut to warding off diseases. So I wanted to start with, what exactly is your gut made of? Well, your gut is basically a layman's term, for your small intestine and large intestine. But it actually makes up something called the GI tract or gastrointestinal system. And that is composed of the stomach, the small intestine, and the large intestine. So the first area of the digestive tract or GI system is your stomach. And then the other area, which is where we're going to be talking about, which is where the bacteria and things get digested, are the small intestine and the large intestine. So what exactly are these and where are they? All of these things are in your abdomen or in your stomach. So we all have them, unless we have a rare condition. The small intestine is the longest part of the gastrointestinal tract, and it is located between the stomach and the large intestine. It has three parts, and those are the duodenum, which is the area where the food is broken down, and the jejunum, which is the area that absorbs nutrients and sends them to the bloodstream, as well as the ileum, which is an area that absorbs nutrients and sends them to the bloodstream. The small intestine actually absorbs 90% of the nutrients from the food that we eat. And although it's called the small intestine, it is actually 22 feet in length. Okay, and so what happens is the food enters your small intestine from the stomach, and it starts off as a substance known as sludge. If any of you have ever experienced a septic system in your home, if you think of it that way, the sludge, I would imagine, kind of looks like that gooky stuff that comes out of your pipes and things. If you've ever seen a septic system drained, it's that sludgy, nasty, yucky stuff. So that's kind of similar to what's in your stomach or in your intestine. And what the sludge is made up is bile from the liver and also enzymes from the pancreas, as well as water and mucus. And all of that is mixed together, and that entire process is called peristalsis. So if you ever heard like your stomach make a noise, that is like peristalsis at work. And if you've ever been to a health provider, whether it be a nurse practitioner or a doctor or a nurse, and you see them taking their stethoscope and placing it on your abdomen and listening, and the different quadrants, they call it, of your abdomen, they are checking for bowel sounds, or that is kind of the bowel moving around and making sounds, okay? All right, a little known fact is that gluten-free diets are said to improve small intestinal health. So I know that's all the rage recently is following a gluten-free diet, and so that is known to maintain a healthy small intestine. Now, the large intestine is the next area, and it is considered the final section of the gastrointestinal tract. And this is the area of the bowel or the tract that absorbs water and vitamins from digested foods. So although it's called the large intestinal tract, it is actually only 6 feet in length. Now, it's important to know that a part of this whole system is a very important part as it relates to immunity. It's something called the lymphoid system. Now, The lymphoid system is a network of tissues and organs that help rid the body of toxins, waste, and other unwanted materials. So the primary function of your lymphoid system, and everyone has one, is to transport a substance called lymph, which is a clear fluid that contains infection-fighting white blood cells throughout the body towards the heart. And there are major parts that are a part of this system. So it's almost like a superhighway or network in your body that wards off infections. And this substance is like a super substance that helps kind of fight off infections. And so the major parts of the lymphatic system are called the bone marrow, the spleen, the thymus gland, the lymph nodes, adenoids, and the tonsils. The major organs that are a part of the lymphatic system are the heart, the lungs, the intestines, which is the same as your large and small intestine, your liver, and also your skin. Okay? Now, within the intestine, there are bacteria that live, and there is something called microbiome, and that is basically the balance of good and bad bacteria in your gut. Now, I want you to remember this term because we're going to talk about that more throughout the segment, okay? Now, the digestive system, okay, now remember your digestive tract is your stomach, your small intestine, and your large intestine. Well, the digestive system is composed of cells, proteins, tissues, and organs. And all of these work to defend the body against harmful bacteria, infection, diseases, and toxins. Now, the mucosa in the gut, it connects with the largest population of immune cells in the body. Okay, so your GI tract, it has what we call gastrointestinal immune cells, which come from the lymphoid branch. Remember, the lymphoid system has that clear fluid called lymph that travels throughout the body towards the heart, and it wards off infections. It helps the body fight off infections. So the job of these gastrointestinal immune cells are to release lymphocyte cells, which attack harmful invaders. Right? And these cells can also form bundles called Peyer's patches. And this is basically like a group of these powerful cells that protect the mucous membranes of the small intestines for infection. Now remember, the small intestine is the first stop on the GI tract after your food is ingested in your stomach. And once it kind of dissolves in the acidic environment of your stomach, it's then past the small intestine. Now, this is going to be important because the gut, what it does is it absorbs nutrients. So if you think about it, we eat for fuel, we drink for nutrients, and also because our body is made up of water. And so the GI tract is so important because that's the way our body actually extracts the nutrients that it needs to replicate for our cells to be healthy. So also, there are cells in the gut itself that help with your immune system because it makes these gastrointestinal immune cells, okay? So it's so important for you to have a healthy GI tract because of the role that the GI tract plays in your health, okay? So these Peyer's patches that work in the mucous membranes of the small intestines, they do their job by releasing a specific white blood cell. And if you've ever seen any like movies or been with anyone who's sick or has had a condition yourself, you will hear the doctors taking blood specimens and checking people's particular levels of particular cells that help them ward off infections. So it lets the doctor know how well the immune system is working at fighting infections. So like an increase of white blood cells let the doctors know that the body is in a state of defending itself against an infection. A low account lets the doctors know that the body's immune system has been compromised and is not able to there's been a drastic reduction in the immune cells. And you hear that quite a bit with people with autoimmune disorders. Primarily, you'll hear a lot about like HIV infection. Someone may have a low immune system, or someone who has particular types of cancer. And so some of the white blood cells that they check are T cells and B cells. And these are actually released in the small intestine in order to help the lymphatic system ward off infections, okay? Now, these T and B cells that descend in the digestive tract, they help ward off infections as well as prevent any damage to the intestinal walls, okay? Now, the normal flora are normal bacteria, so you're going to hear me use those words interchangeably. You're going to hear me use normal flora, and that just means normal bacteria, because our body has bacteria. And let's talk a little bit about the purpose of bacteria. Now, it's important to know that the human body is comprised of many bacterial cells, and this is normal, because I know a lot of times we hear about things like antibiotics or all different types of infection. Well, the body is like an ecosystem. So it's kind of like the way our environment is. We have different species of bacteria in the environment, right? We have different types of organisms. We have different types of, look at the difference in the human races or the difference in mammals or animals. And so if you think about it, it's very much like that in our body, on our bodies and inside of our bodies. It's like a whole ecosystem. So it's like a whole world happening there that makes everything function and keeps us safe from diseases. And so the human body has many bacterial cells. There are bacterial cells that live on the skin, in the nose, in the ears, and in the gut. Now, the bacteria of the gut helps with digestion, but they have a much more important role because they fight off infections. And the fighting off of infections is known as your immune system, and we've been talking about that a little bit. So the gut is an intricate part of that lymphatic system that helps the development, remember, of the cells that help boost the immune system to ward off infections. Now, certain cells that line your gut, they excrete a massive quantity of antibodies in the gut. Now, there are some studies that show the introduction of carcinogens in the gut can interact with certain proteins produced in the colon. Now, again, the colon, you'll hear me kind of refer to these interchangeably. The colon represents those two parts I was talking about. There's the smaller intestine, or the small bowel, and then there's the larger intestine, or the large bowel, okay? Those make up the colon, okay? Now, these proteins and carcinogens can cause a shift in the ecology of the gut. And remember I said like ecology is like the group of bacteria. There's going to be some good and there's going to be some bad. Okay, but for a balanced gut health, you want to make sure that there is a variety of good bacteria, okay, to keep things balanced. Now, basically, the ecology of the gut is the makeup of the bacterial community. Now, this goes back to that term that I refer to as microbiome, okay? And that's the balance of good and bad bacteria in the gut, okay? Now, these proteins, though, remember, when mixed with carcinogens, can increase the likelihood of the body having a state of imbalance. And this is all within the gut, okay, because it has its own ecosystem to keep things balanced. And this can actually cause the body to be in a state where it actually attacks itself, also known as an autoimmune disorder. And that's where the amount of bad bacteria can grow to outweigh the good bacteria, and then there's a state of unbalance. And this can cause then the body to attack itself because it doesn't know, it's so unbalanced, it doesn't know, there's so many bad bacteria, it doesn't know which ones to ward off, okay? Now, there are some studies out there, some scientists are studying, because it's still a lot unknown about the gut. And so they are studying how the gut is able to communicate with other things. Like, for example, there are some instances where they're someone who may have a condition called TB. Tuberculosis is a condition of the lungs, so it's an infection of the lungs. Well, scientists have noticed that when someone has TB in their lungs, the gut is somehow signaling the lungs, and that then changes the makeup of the bacteria in the gut. So it's almost like the gut is like, mayday, mayday, there's an infection in the lungs, and then it starts to create different types of bacteria in the gut. And so scientists are trying to find out if it's possible to diagnose TB sooner by actually analyzing the bacteria of the gut. And so they've been looking for patterns and what those indications may be. Unfortunately, what they've learned is that just because a particular bacteria is in excess in the gut, it doesn't mean it's a good or bad bacteria. They still are not able to kind of figure out that link, that communication between the gut and other organs in the body. But the same can be said with certain cancers. You can see the gut communicating and the bacteria that make up the gut changing when there is an infection. So it's leading closer and closer to believe, and that's how they really are certain, that 70 to 80% of the cells that make up your immune system are found in your gut. Now, it's important to know that healthy flora or healthy bacteria are critical. It's so important for you to be healthy, okay, for gut health. So we're finding now, we're so concerned in medicine, we've been so concerned about heart health and about, we talked about Alzheimer's and the diabetes connection last week, about brain health, about staying healthy and exercising. But there's still a lot in the medical community and in science that we don't know about diet and now about our gut health. And so more and more, a lot of the segments that we have been talking about focuses a lot on diet and the foods that we eat. And no more is that really evident than with gut health. Diet is truly key in the research that I was able to do and the articles I was able to do. And we will talk about that. So it says here that there are 500 species and 3 pounds of bacteria in your gut. Okay, there was a study that followed people with low amounts of healthy bacteria, and these people had a higher incidence of high cholesterol or bad lipids, okay? They also were known to be insulin resistant, which we talked about a couple of insulin resistant conditions. We talked about diabetes. We also talked about PCOS in the past, as well as inflammation, okay? It was also noted in this study that people that were obese continued to gain more weight over time when they did not have large amounts of healthy bacteria. So this means that the bad bacteria outweighed the good bacteria in their gut, okay? It's important to know that your gut nervous system acts as a second brain. And this was very interesting to me. I never knew this. It says that the gut-brain connection is said to play an important part in the overall function of the gastrointestinal function, as well as feelings and intuitive decision making. They said besides your brain, your gut is the only other organ with its own nervous system. Now, I never knew this. I didn't catch that so far in my study, so I'm just learning so much with all of you and doing the research for these podcasts. I didn't realize that the gut had its own nervous system. We learned about the brain emulating lots of different things in other areas of the body. But look at how remarkable the gut is and the brain-gut connection. I know some of you may have heard some of the sayings where someone says that they may feel something deep in their gut, like something just wasn't right, like their intuitive sense. And if you've ever been nervous or anxious, sometimes you can your stomach can be so upset that you can actually have physical symptoms such as nausea or indigestion or even vomiting. We've seen that. And so they're saying, you know, there's still a lot not known about the brain-gut connection. They said that your small intestine has as many neurons as your spinal cord. And, you know, the spinal cord is connected to your brain and your neurological system. It says that your gut cells produce 95% of the serotonin in your body. And every class of neurotransmitter in your brain also resides in your gut. So here again, we have an amazing system. Much like the brain, the body is so remarkable that the gut actually has the same neurotransmitters as the brain. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the body is just so remarkable to me. Now, a little known fact is that your gut contains more neurotransmitters than your brain. Now, I didn't know this. So there's actually more neurotransmitters in your brain, in your gut than there are in your brain. And that just makes me think about how we were talking about Alzheimer's last week and about the damage of certain nerves. And I would almost wonder if some of these things may not, the key may be in the gut in the future. And maybe, you know, we may learn some keys to regenerating things if we learn more about the connection with the gut and the brain, because I've read some research here about imbalance in the gut can even contribute to Alzheimer's. And again, they're linking all of this stuff to diet. It says here that gut-brain disturbances manifest in a wide range of disorders, and these include gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, as well as eating disorders. They have an example here about the gut-brain connection that if you've ever experienced butterflies in your stomach when you were nervous or had an instinct about something, then that was you experiencing a gut feeling. So we say that a lot, my gut feeling. So without even realizing it, we kind of realize how important that the gut is. Now, we can talk about a little bit about what causes some imbalances in our gut. I'm going to take a quick break. Let me go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back, and we'll talk about what things can cause an imbalance in your gut.
Yeah. They ain't gonna like it. They ain't gonna like me. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad. Same old nigga from the block. Same old nigga with the pot. The same old nigga from the trap. Everybody hated on him, then he bounced right back. I just spent a whole lot of time overseas. Doubling my money, cause you know I won't cheese. I've been in my hometown playing with the keys. When it fell off the boat, yeah, I'm talking about Belize. I know it's a whole lot of niggas that was hating. I know it's a whole lot of bitches that was taking. So I shut the niggas up, bitches filling up. So I always knew that I was sick, so I had to stay patient. Taking over summer, niggas tell me what's the bid. Heard you still cuffing, niggas tell me what it is. You ain't paying no bills, buying no fans, buying no heels. Goddamn, let a bitch live. All I see is 20. If it ain't quarter meal, fuck the whip. I don't want it, but to make these niggas sick to their stomach. I be getting to the money. Everybody mad. I think I'm getting too much money. Everybody mad. Same old nigga from the block. Same old nigga with the pot. The same old nigga from the trap. Everybody hated on him, then he bounced right back. Now she wanna give it up. Fast life, OT, I'ma live it up. Now my ex-girl tryna make me jealous, cause she got a new nigga. She don't know that I don't give a fuck. I got me a deal, but I'm still in the street. Heard a couple niggas talking like they got beat. They forgot sesame, teriyaki sauce with the rice on the side. Sweaty pussy nigga sweet. I got all this money on my motherfucking mind. Diamonds in my dial, I can't even see the time. All my niggas pull up, please don't let me bang the line. And they super extra when them niggas off the line. All I know is blood, Crips, Pyro. I'm a West Side nigga, don't get it fucked up. Niggas sick, cause they thought I locked up. I be getting.
YizerRadio.com. Talk radio for forward thinkers. Join Victim Stoppers Network today. www.victimstoppers.us. Start a neighborhood crime prevention chapter. Check out the latest blogs from your favorite blog talk hosts. Expand your network. Social networking with a purpose. victimstoppers.us. Join today. Need information on local savings? How about a mover or lawn care services? Join YIZER.com.
Want to hear more?
Healthy365, Sunday nights from 7 to 8 Eastern. Moving forward, Monday nights from 8 to 10. Against All Odds, Thursday nights from 8 to 9. YIZERRadio.com. Talk radio for forward thinkers. You want to hear more. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for joining me for this broadcast. And again, much like all my broadcasts, this broadcast will be available on demand. I'm kind of doing the broadcast this morning. Actually, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. In the twilight hour because of the holiday, and so I will be out of town with family, and so I wanted to just take the time to make sure that we still had our time together this week, and so please take a listen to many of our on-demand topics from all of our hosts, not just Healthy 365, but also on the broadcast Moving Forward, as well as Against All Odds. And a couple of years ago, there were some even great editions of Healthy 365. So please feel free to download and listen anytime to our on-demand podcast. Tonight, we are talking about, is the key to your immunity in your gut health? And we've talked about what comprises the gastrointestinal tract, the small and large intestine. We've talked about the lymphoid system and how that is the important like network or like highway system within our body that kind of fights back infection. So it's the source of our immune system. But we're learning that there's still not a lot known about the gut, but that it is the key to the immune system. And we said before the break that 70 to 80% of the cells that make up the immune system are found in the gut, okay? Now, we were going to talk about some things that can imbalance your gut. Now, some of the things that can cause an imbalance of the gut are having a junk diet. Big surprise there, right? This is like a constant with health. So a junk diet, so a diet that's low in nutrients value, that it will actually encourage growth of yeast. So yeast loves sugar. They love all that crud and that junk that's not good for us. And it also will encourage the growth of wrong bacteria. All that garbage is actually food, a source of food for the bad bacteria, and can cause overgrowth in the gut. Okay, so definitely a junk diet is a no-no from obvious reasons, but especially for gut health. Another thing that can cause imbalances in the gut is medication overuse. So medications such as anti-inflammatory medications, you may know those, they're abbreviated as NSAIDs. And so these are things like your NSAIDs would be your ibuprofen, it would be your Aleve, it would be your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs is what NSAIDs stand for. So those can cause an imbalance in the gut. Antibiotics can cause an imbalance in the gut. Acid-blocking drugs, so like your antacids, can cause an imbalance in the gut. And steroids can damage and block the normal digestive function in the body. Now, an infection and gut imbalance. So small intestinal bacteria overgrowth or yeast or overgrowth and parasites can cause an imbalance in the gut. Having a toxic overload, so too much mold, toxins, and mercury can cause an imbalance in the gut. Having inadequate digestive enzymes can cause an imbalance in the gut. And this can be caused by stress, by acid blocking medications, so like Tums and other antacids, zinc deficiencies, so a deficiency of the nutrient zinc can cause an inadequate amount of digestive enzymes in your gut. All of these can contribute to a lack of adequate digestive enzyme function. Stress, we hear this a lot. Stress is a silent killer many times. It contributes to lots of different dysfunctions in the body. So chronic stress can alter your gut nervous system, which makes perfect sense because when you're in a constant state of stress, your body is like fight or flight. It's like intense. It's on high alert. It's trying to resolve the problems when you think about it. So if you are stressed a lot, you know, if you're someone too, you notice the coordination, they say a lot of times people that suffer from gut, from stress can develop ulcers in their gut, you know? And so, you know, definitely stress is not good. So you want to do things like meditation. You can do positive affirmations to kind of refocus you. So you're focusing more on positive and not on negative. You can control the way you respond to stress. So say you're faced with a stressful situation, you can do, you know, deep breathing exercises, similar to what a woman would do in Lamaze, you know, slow and steady, you know, breaths to kind of calm yourself. You can do like therapy where you think of something positive to manage your stress. You can also try to avoid stressful situations. But a lot of times with things, a lot of times it's mind over matter. So sometimes it's just taking the time to reflect and think about it. Okay, this is a challenge that has presented itself. I can either let it consume me or I can be positive about it. So let me stop and think, and let me think of the lesson in this or how I can overcome this. If this isn't something I can address right now, let me give myself permission to deal with this later, okay? So stress can also, they said, contribute to a leaky gut and change in the normal bacteria in the gut. And so we're going to talk about how you can restore the balance of your gut, but let's also kind of dig a little bit deeper to how important the gut is in the body. Now, the gut, in addition to being the source of where the immune system lies, the gut also is known as the gatekeeper. So one of the things that the gut does as a gatekeeper is it regulates which particles pass through the intestinal lining. So remember when we started, we talked about the stomach and how when you eat something or drink something, everything goes through your stomach. And then it's broken down by the acids in your stomach. And then that filters down to the small intestine, okay? And it is in a substance called sludge. Well, within the small intestine, there's intestinal linings. Think of it as, if you think of it like a strainer, if you've ever used a strainer in your kitchen, or a colander, right? Okay, so the colander, if you know how a colander works when you're rinsing like pasta or if you're rinsing fruits or vegetables, the holes in the colander or the strainer allow the water to get through. So if we think about that in the context of your intestines, when you're breaking down the food, the small intestine is where most of the food and nutrients are absorbed, okay? 90% of it, as a matter of fact. And so there are small little holes in the tract, very similar to a filter or a colander. And so the little holes allow for the nutrients to come through so that the body can get the nutrients it needs from the source of the food. However, with someone whose tract is not healthy, they can develop a leaky gut. So if we think about these little openings as little gates, okay, that's what allows the good nutrients to pass through. But if the gut is dysfunctional and a leaky gut develops, that is where the lining is damaged and larger particles are allowed through. So it's not just letting through the good nutrients, it's also letting through large particles and things that don't work well. And we'll talk about this a little bit further down the line about how that can also cause a reaction in your body to certain foods, this whole leaky gut. So unfortunately, once these particles reach the bloodstream, they are treated as foreign invaders. And this causes the immune system to react. And this is known as a trigger of inflammation. And sometimes what can be representative of the inflammation is pain. You know, you hear of people talking a lot about arthritic pain. So remember, arthritis, itis, is symbolic for inflammation. That's the medical term for inflammation. So if you see itis at the bottom, arthritis, gastritis, cellulitis, all of that means inflammation, okay, which is swelling, inflammation, a state of being unwell. It's inflamed, okay? So when leaky gut develops, you can become sensitized to foods. For example, if you were to eat a piece of soy or a piece of cheese, and the particles from the consumption of those foods slip through the intestinal barrier. And again, this would be someone with leaky gut, okay? This is where the gates are too large and things are just falling through instead of the necessary nutrients. This could then cause an immune reaction. So your body would react to pieces of the actual soy or cheese getting through. And this would, and if you continue to consume the food, so say you ate it on a Monday, and then you said, oh, that was so delicious, I'm going to have more, I'm going to have another soy latte on Wednesday. So this time, when you consume the soy latte, your body would have a chronic inflammation. It would have a reaction to it because it still views this particle as an invader, okay, because it came through when it wasn't supposed to. So this fell through, and now it is identified in your body as a foreign substance, as a substance it needs to ward off, it needs to fight against. So the body goes into defense mode, and it becomes inflamed, okay? So all of a sudden, you're in constant pain, and you can't figure out why. And all along, it's your soy latte because you have an unhealthy gut. You have a leaky gut. So there's gaps in the gates in your gut. The good thing is that if you heal the gut, you can reverse those symptoms. Okay? Now, a leaky gut is a condition of the gut when the healthy bacteria are imbalanced and the immune system goes into overdrive. So basically, it's mounting an unnecessary response against gluten, bad bacteria, and undigested food, which have passed through the holes in the gut lining. The very first sign of a leaky gut is food intolerance, and this is just what we just spoke about, like all of a sudden having inflammation and pain from something that you previously enjoyed. If a leaky gut is left untreated, this can lead to immune abnormalities, and eventually even autoimmune disorders. And some autoimmune disorders are irritable bowel disease, or IBD, arthritis, eczema, psoriasis, both of those are conditions of the skin, depression, migraine headaches, muscle pain, fibromyalgia. Now, this is one, and they've been showing these a lot on the commercial where someone's having pain in their nerves all throughout their body. Chronic fatigue syndrome, type 1 diabetes, Graves' disease, colitis, remember, itis is an inflammation, so that would be of the colon, thyroiditis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, scleroderma, Alzheimer's, Crohn's disease, and Addison's disease. So changing your diet will actually change the type of bacteria you have in your gut. And so having a healthy immune system is the result of a diet that supports healthy gut function. So it's one that emphasizes whole, unprocessed foods and one that helps to repopulate the gut into good bacteria. Now remember, if you are someone who is having an auto response to certain foods, you can prevent the development of certain autoimmune conditions by getting your restoring the health of your gut. If you do have an autoimmune disorder, you can manage the symptoms of that condition, again, they're saying, by having a healthy gut. And we'll talk more about how to have a healthy gut. Now, it's important to know that your gut is the center of your health. And when there's an overgrowth of bad bacteria, it can disrupt the process in the gut and cause your body's immune system to start attacking your own cells. And so basically, this is the catalyst for all autoimmune disorders. This is what they're saying now. It all, they believe, starts with having an unhealthy gut. Okay? Now, we will talk about some ways that you can actually improve the health of your gut. I'm going to take a quick break and play, give some time to our sponsors. Of course, this would not be possible without Digital Guard. I can't stress enough, especially during the holidays, the importance of having monitoring for your home, for your businesses, you know, having that peace of mind. Like, for example, this is the time where I'm still doing some last-minute shopping. I consider it last-minute because we're almost in December for Christmas. And, you know, with so many packages and other things, and we're just in a time now in society where not everybody is necessarily so neighborly. So there's a big move for things like virtual neighborhood watches and other things. And so that's where Digital Guard is really phenomenal. You can have monitoring. There's all these affordable options. But what I thought was just amazing is they make having a neighborhood like watch chapter affordable. The dues are only $14.99. So even if you don't really care for your neighbors, it's still everybody could do their part, especially since we're all so, you know, enthralled with our smart devices. So we're always looking at our laptops or our tablets or our smartphones. You know, why not help each other? Because, you know, having a safe neighborhood is going to be good for everybody. It's going to be good for safety. It's going to keep crime down. It's also going to be good for the value and worth of your community. I think we all have like a sense to look out for one another. And so you're media and on things anyway, you can go ahead and take part and be the first to kind of lead your own neighborhood watch. And it's effortless. You probably are logged into your email anyway if you're not doing text messages. It's so simple. So go to www.digitalguard.com and find out more information, or you can call the number that's listed in the ad. So let me do a quick moment for our sponsors, and we'll be right back and kind of talk about ways that you can improve the health of your gut. Let's face it, we all have busy lives, and our first priority is protecting our home and the ones we love. Whether you are traveling or simply getting packages delivered during this busy holiday season, why not be proactive and protect your home or business today with a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera system with monitoring? With many purchase options available to you and prices starting as low as $684.63, it's now more affordable than ever to get started with your very own home monitoring system today. Did I mention we offer a no credit check lease option for just $275 down and 14 monthly payments of just $50? Or how about creating a neighborhood video watch alliance for your community for an annual fee of just $14.99? You can't put a price on peace of mind. Don't wait. Call Digital Guard today at 888-640-5777, option 2. Mention promo code Nicole to lock in your savings. Remember, what you can't see will hurt you. And on behalf of Healthy 365, I want to wish you and your family a safe and happy holiday season. Hi, welcome back to today's edition of Healthy 365. And today we've been talking about, is the key to your immunity, and your immunity is how you ward off infections and your body's defense to infections. Is the key really in your gut? And we've learned a lot of amazing things about the gut and how important the gut is. And how it's really the center of your health, and they're finding that it's really the key to a lot of the autoimmune disorders that we may experience and develop. Again, I include information on my podcast, on my blog. You can read my blog or blogs of other wonderful podcasters on our station by joining victimstoppers.us. That's www.victimstoppers.us. It's free. It's amazing. It is another way for you to unify your neighborhood surveillance chapter. And so it's a great place to meet people. You know, I like to say it's social networking with a purpose. And there's some wonderful blogs in there for myself. I usually do like a quick little recap of my shows, as well as you can get to know more of your hosts. I mean, and learn, you know, and also network, you know, who doesn't need to network? So join today. I can't stress the importance of having wonderful networks like that available to us. So what are some of the things that you can do to improve the health of your gut? Well, first, you can take a probiotic. And why is a probiotic important? Well, it can assist in rebalancing your microbiome. Now, remember, your microbiome is the balance of good and bad bacteria in your gut, okay? All right. So, you can eat fermented and cultured foods. And those are foods like kimchi, sauerkraut, fresh pickles. They contain probiotics, but they are full of digestive enzymes, which can compensate your stomach, liver, or gallbladder. So they do contain some probiotics because they're actually made with cultures, but they also aid in the digestion. So they aid the digestion. They are full of digestive enzymes, which you need. Remember, there was a condition we talked about where the body was imbalanced of the enzymes. Another thing you can do is eat sprout vegetables. Sprouted vegetables contain dramatically increased amounts of enzymes. So again, this is a way to build the enzymes in your gut. You can eat radishes, artichokes, dandelion, and chicory. Bitter greens help stimulate the liver and help create bile. So remember, the liver is a part of the immune system. Bile is important for the sludge that helps your body break down the foods, the digestive food from the stomach and the small intestine, so that your body can absorb the appropriate nutrients. So if you can eat bitter greens, you can stimulate more bile in the liver. You can also eat demulcents. Demulcents soothe irritated or inflamed tissues, and they include foods like almonds, which are absolutely delicious, barley, coconut oil, figs, parsley, prunes, and sage. And I love sage. You hear about all the wonderful uses of sage. You'll hear someone saying, I'm going to cleanse all the negative energy. I'm going to sage my home. Or I'm going to sage this or that. Or I love my mom's dressing at Thanksgiving. So instantly when I think of sage, I think of roasted turkey, and I think of my mom's dressing, which is full of sage. I really love it. They want you to avoid alcohol and coffee. These are substances where we've heard before that can actually adversely affect your microbiome. So it can disturb the balance of good and bad bacteria in the gut. Ghee. If any of you don't know what ghee is, it is a clarified butter that has been used in India for thousands of years, and it's used to treat digestive problems. It can reduce inflammation, and it's high in gut healing, I'm probably not saying that right. Please don't say booty rate. I think it's buddy rate. They want you to eat more fiber. Fiber helps regulate your digestive tract and also acts as food for good bacteria. So fiber feeds your good bacteria, which makes them happy. Sugar and junk food feeds the bad bacteria, which is, makes us not feel so good. Now, because the digestive system extracts nutrients from the food you eat and drink, it processes them through the bloodstream and prepares the leftover material for disposal, okay? So that's where the large intestine comes in. The end of the large intestine is where all the waste is excreted. We know that as stool. Now, many times you may have heard in medicine, especially I want to say, like in the Chinese or Asian cultures, I should say, I remember hearing a story about how one of the emperors, somebody's job was to look at the emperor's stool and assess it, and they could tell all about the emperor's health based on the stool. And I also was reading in my research about how in the Asian cultures, they really do have a lot of value and insight into the importance of the gut, how important it is. And they give a lot of acknowledgement and they focus a lot on the gut and gut health. I at one point, this was several years ago, I had watched an episode of Oprah, which you guys all know she's my hero, Shiro. And I was young. I was in my 20s. And I remember seeing a Dr. Dean Ornish. And he had some information on a diet. And I remember saying, okay, I'm going to try this diet. And then in reading his book, I then got introduced to something called macrobiotics. And man, let me tell you, that is like, to me, if you can do it, it's like the best way to eat. You only eat things that are sourced locally. So if the apple, you know, I'm in the Tennessee Valley, if the apple wasn't, you know, available or raised on a farm here, so it's basically getting back to principles, the way our ancestors and our great-grandparents and grandparents lived. If something wasn't locally available, then you didn't get it. So you're not going to be eating mangoes and papayas unless you live somewhere where they grow that. So you're not going to eat a Washington apple. You're not going to eat an Idaho potato. You're going to eat what's available for you. So the diet was really restrictive. It did exclude a lot of things, but it had, I'm familiar with a lot of these foods because you had to incorporate it. You had to watch your fats. You had to watch your sodium. So you use seaweed for flavorings. You use kombucha. You used pickling to give flavor and dimensions of flavor. Lots of use of ginger, you know, some use of garlic, some like scallions and green onions. Really healthy grains like brown rice, you want to limit frying them. I didn't eat corn. I didn't eat corn. I know I ate carrots and things of that nature. Green tea every day. Meditation. It really focused on having presence of mind too. So being here now, like in every moment when you're with your family, when you're eating your food, think about each bite, appreciate each bite. So it really focused on that. Not a lot of emphasis on exercise, but lots of emphasis on good grains, so good sources of fiber, you know, limiting your protein. And it was really, I felt amazing. I mean, within 10 days, I felt like a new person. And you could just from that natural eating, you could just feel your system being cleansed. Your brain wasn't foggy. You had tons of energy. You know, my mom has always emphasized, and you know, you eat for fuel. And I think a lot of times in our American culture, food like takes on a life of its own. Like, for example, this Thanksgiving holiday is basically what? A big party of gluttony, right? I mean, we have all types of desserts. You don't need all those desserts, but we have it. It's like a big celebration, much like Super Bowl and other things and parties and things. So Thanksgiving is just a time just to just eat a whole bunch of stuff. So, I mean, you're eating all types of, you're eating roasted turkey. Some people are eating roasted chicken and roast beef, and you're eating pork for Pete's sake. So you're eating a ham. You're eating all types of breads. I mean, you've got your dressings and your stuffing and your rolls. You're eating, you know, macaroni and cheese, which is full of, you know, fats And it tastes so good. And then you're slathering gravy over everything, you know? And then you like overcook your green beans and then throw that cream-based soups or gravies on top of with some crunchy fried onions. I mean, you know, it's horrible, but it tastes so good. So when you think about that, we probably could do better with our diets and the way that we utilize food. You know, it becomes like, it can become a crutch. It becomes a sense of comfort. And so I think sometimes we lose sight of it. And for some of us, we kind of eat like Thanksgiving all the time. Like, we can even start to reward ourselves with food. Like, oh, I've been so good. You may hear that a lot. I've been so good. I'm going to stop and I'm going to have a special latte. I've been so good. I'm going to have a piece of pie. You know, we food is very much like a reward. It's what you think about. Some nostalgia. It has like nostalgic meanings. Like, you can remember sometimes when you smell something, it brings back memories. And so I think if we can kind of change our perception of food and how we utilize food and more for what it's for, and like more of a balance with earth, with all of our natural resources, and just be more in tune with nature. I really learned a lot about that with the microbiotics diet. So it's something to think about. I mean, it was hard because, you know, you go to the grocery store and I didn't really care if the apple's from Guatemala. I just wanted it, you know, so it can be challenging. It definitely would be challenging for me now in the state that I'm in with the holidays. I mean, going on a healthy lifestyle is like the furthest thing from my mind. But I wanted to kind of talk about bowel health because I know that comes up for a lot of people. Now, how many bowel movements should you have? A lot of people think about that. Now, depending on your age and your level of activities, you can have 1 to 3 bowel movements a day. So you know like how regular. Some people are like regular on the nose. But the normal rule of thumb is 3 a week, okay? So it's important to know if the stool sits in your colon too long, it can grow hard and then become difficult to pass. And that's known as constipation, which if you've ever been constipated or your baby has ever been constipated, it is miserable, okay? You have to get something to try to soften and put the water back into that stool. Now, let's talk a little bit more and delve a little bit more about probiotics. Now, they are actually found. We talked about probiotics, the supplements, but probiotics are actually found in some food sources, okay? And these are foods that have the addition of bacteria. So they do also have some probiotic content, and those would be yogurt, pickles, cottage cheese, kombucha, and sauerkraut, okay? And we talked about kimchi too. Now, these foods work the same as the supplements, but due to the overprocessing of most of our foods, especially in the United States, it's really unlikely that you'll get the full effect, so it is highly recommended that you use a supplement. Now, there's also something called prebiotics, and prebiotics are complex sugars that are ingested as fuel for the gastrointestinal bacteria. Prebiotics are found in everyday foods, okay? And these are onions, garlic, bananas, asparagus, unpasteurized apple cider vinegar, and artichokes. They recommend that you have 20 grams daily of prebiotics. And it's important to know that some probiotic supplements do include prebiotics. However, it is recommended that you get a source from your diet to ensure that you meet the recommended amount, which again is the 20 grams per day. And they want you to mix up your probiotic routine to ensure that you have a variety of healthy bacteria within your gut. Just think about it. If we're thinking about our gut and bacteria in our gut being like an ecosystem, you want to keep all that balance. Like, think about if there was only one type of person in the world. You know what I mean? How boring would the world be? Or if there was only one type of food, how boring would it be? So you want a nice mixture. So you can mix your probiotic like routine up to make sure that you have lots of different varieties of healthy bacteria. Now, I will include this in my blog. Again, that's at www.victimstoppers.us. There were some top-rated probiotics for 2017, and this came specifically from a site called reviews.com. Now, the overall best probiotic was one called Island's Miracle Ultra 30 Probiotics. The best probiotic for antibiotic recovery, they kind of broke these down based on what's going on with your health. So the best probiotic for antibiotic recovery, so if you were on antibiotics recently, you can restore or balance the normal flora in your body by taking this probiotic. It's the Megafood Megaflora one. The best probiotic for immune health was Renew Life Ultimate Flora Extra Care, 30 billion. The best probiotic for IBS or IBD relief, and remember that's an autoimmune disorder of the gut, would be Dr. Formula's Nexobiotic Advanced Multi-Probiotic. That formula is also good for anxiety and allergies. So again, it's the Dr. Formula's Nexobiotic Advanced Multi-Probiotic. The best probiotic for weight loss was Nature's Way Prima Dophilus Fortified Women's Probiotic. They should make these things easier to say. The best probiotic for lactose intolerance is Advocare Probiotic Restore Ultra. And lactose intolerance is that like enzyme found in dairy products that a lot of people, especially people of color, can't digest. And so you have symptoms like cramping in the stomach, diarrhea, things like that. If you have it, trust me, you know it's painful. And it tends to run in families too. The best probiotic for lowering cholesterol would be Garden of Life Doctor Formulated Probiotics. It's a once daily women's formula. And the best one for women's health is something called Hyperbiotics Pro 15 Advanced Strength. Okay. I want all of you to tune in to next Sunday's edition. And so this will kind of take the place for next Sunday. So if you're listening to this, you may be listening to this on demand on Sunday. June 4th, the 26th, right? So my next live broadcast will be December the 3rd, Sunday, December the 3rd, and we will be exploring what's in our water. And I felt this was so important with the Flint crisis. And then I remember doing the campaign, the last presidential campaign, I believe it might have been Hillary Rodham Clinton, or someone was making the comment that Flint was not the only area that had a water crisis. And then they kind of explored there was a situation in Texas. I think Mississippi had one. And so I was talking with a patient recently, and through my own experience as well, when I lived in a suburb of Chicago, I remember my family itching. And the only thing we could think of is we moved to this house and it happened after bathing, because, you know, we drink bottled water. I don't know how in the future what they're going to have to say about that, but we were also cooking with the water too. And so I remember having our water tested and then investing in a water softener, and then we weren't itching, but we all had really, really dry skin. Our hair was really, really dry. And so primarily my youngest child, and then at the time my husband and I, we were really, really having some reactions to this. And I remember telling a patient recently, he had said he had experienced some changes to things on his skin. And I said, hey, have you ever thought about your water? And then I did a little bit of research, and it talked about well water and all these different things for the state he lived in. And he was in North Carolina. And so I definitely was like, wow, this is like not the first time this has come up. So I've been doing some research on issues with our nation's water and their regulatory system. And you think about all the waste and the global warming and how we don't protect our environment. So it would only be reasonable to think that our water sources may be impacted. So that'll be Sunday the 3rd and that broadcast will be from 7 to 8:30. Also, check out this Monday coming up, so that would be the 27th, another edition of Moving Forward that's hosted by Dwayne Abernathy, and that's from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And next Thursday, which would be Thursday night, would be another episode of Against All Odds, and that's an hour-long program starting at 8 o'clock, and that's hosted by the lovely Renita Graves and the lovely Ayana Muhammad. Also, again, shameless plug, please check out all of our blogs, but my recap blog on Victim Stoppers Social Network, that's www.victimstoppers.us. You can find the link directly on our Yizer Radio page. So right from the main Yizer Radio page, www.yizer.com, and click on my name. Also, you can also check out our YouTube channel at www.digitalguardtv.com. I want to thank all of you for tuning in with me, especially during this time of family and togetherness. You know, I truly, truly love what I do as a nurse. I love learning. I love sharing. I love being a vessel. You know, Healthy 365 is not about me at all. It's about, I really felt a calling for health and a calling to make a difference in the lives of others. And so, you know, nurses truly are the heart, I feel, of medicine. And, you know, you either are dedicated to health and wellness or you don't. You either have a passion for it or you don't. And so I will never make this program where it's about me. It'll always be about things that are beneficial to you, because to me, that's what good healthcare is about. It's about an advocating. It's about letting the message and letting the gift and letting that art form speak for itself. So I always want to focus on us taking this positive journey together, us making lifestyle changes, us conquering the world and being aware about things together. So it's about the message. It's not about me. I always like to wrap up my show with an inspirational quote and some positivity to carry you through to this special time with your family. You guys, please be nice to each other. All this Black Friday and people intruding on their time with their families and people, you know, more and more. I know you hear those articles, and I don't want to get preachy about it. I mean, I hear things starting as early as 5 o'clock on Thanksgiving. I mean, really, it's just so sad to me. So please, if you can, I say support online. I do my shopping online when I can. Cyber Monday, it will be on the 27th. That's after Black Friday. You know, don't trample each other. Don't push people. Don't shoot any jet guy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were no incidents this year? My quote, though, is my hero. I mean, I love this man. He was a Virgo. I love him. His words would just speak to my heart. I have all of his music because I'm such a fan. I was actually pregnant when we lost him. I was devastated. I remember videos and songs that came out when I had my first child. My quote tonight, actually have two quotes from him, is from none other than the legendary Michael Jackson, who will forever, I mean, he's more than the king of pop to me. He's like everything to me. I love Michael. So the first quote is, "The meaning of life is contained in every single expression of life. It is present in the infinity of forms and phenomena that exist in all creation." Let me say that again. "The meaning of life is contained in every single expression of life. It is present in the infinity of forms and phenomena that exist in all creation." And then the next quote is, "Let us dream of tomorrow where we can truly love from the soul and know love as the ultimate truth at the heart of all creation." That's beautiful. I'm going to read that again. "Let us dream of tomorrow where we can truly love from the soul and know love as the ultimate truth at the heart of all creation." And those are the beautiful words of the late, the greatest to me, Michael Jackson. We miss you so much, Mike, and we hope you rest in peace. The world got a little less beautiful and a little less bright when you left, but I know you're in a better place. I'm going to end the program tonight with one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs, because it would only be so right. I think it was one of the first songs I was introduced to when I was a little girl. They said I used to do the rock with my shadow. So I'm a big, big fan. And till this day, I still, any opportunity I can, my daughter and I, when things are too serious or too stressful, we definitely dance it out like the corny chicks from Grey's Anatomy, which I'm a super duper fan of. And so any excuse to dance or sing or shake my ass, I'm always down for that. So this is for you, Mike. We miss you. I want to thank all of you for joining me, and I hope all of you have a safe and blessed Thanksgiving holiday. And please tune in next Sunday, the 3rd.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force has got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like this.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? Answers to your questions are: what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.